Welcome to Justin.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Okay. Tell Justin, you have a title. Share that title with us.
Well, my title is the Director of Information Technology with the Mat-Su Borough School District.
Right. And full disclosure, back in the day when I was associated with the school district, I remember seeing you there. So how long have you been working with the school district?
Well, I've been with the school district since October 2002, so it's about 12 and a half years now. Back then, I was working as a programmer analyst and kind of worked in a few different positions. Also worked as a lead programmer, a manager, and a supervisor. And since March of 2011, I've been in the role of the director of IT.
The time flies. That's almost 4 years.
Yeah, I looked at that the other day, and it just seemed like 2 to 3 years, and you know, all of a sudden it's 4 years. But you know, you know what they say, it's when time flies when you're having fun, and I really enjoy what I do.
Well, you look like you do. So maybe we can begin by doing a little bit of a history. As I pointed out, I have some history in that back a long, long time ago, I served on a committee that brought the first, at that point, IBM 36 for Central Computer into the district. Even went down to Lower 48 to visit an installation which was using a software which we began with. So I'm the only one left around, I think, that was on that five-member committee that made that choice that kicked this whole thing off. But since that time, you've grown. How would you say in the last 10 years you've seen the district's IT department or spread grow? How's that changed over that period?
Well, you know, technology alone has changed dramatically in the past 10 years. And, you know, one of the things with just the technology department within the district, that's changed as well. So, you know, the example you've given with just, you know, just the computing side, you know, the back end side, you know, we've gone from that to, you know, we've got now virtual servers and we've got physical servers. We've got servers in every school. The infrastructure has just changed dramatically. You know, we've moved away from that mainframe style, which was a solid piece back then. And, you know, the big point is, as that technology's changed, you know, we've had additional staffing. You know, when I started, you know, the department size was fairly small. Now we've got, you know, about 30 staff. Well, there's 30 staff. And now we're supporting a lot more. You know, it's more than just the back-end technology. I made an analogy with staff the other day is, walk into a classroom 10 to 15 years ago, what did you see in that classroom? You saw maybe a computer in the corner that the teacher put their grades in, and that was probably about it. In the school, you probably had computers in the office, and at central office, you had the computers, you know, that staff were using to manage student data and employee data. Now you walk into the school in the classroom, and things have changed dramatically. You've got interactive boards, you've got projectors, you've got a teacher computer, laptops, tablets, you've got wireless infrastructure, you've got security cameras, you've got networking, you've got servers, access control. There's just so many components now used to support educating students. It's grown a lot.
So in order to make some sense of it and have you talk about this in a kind of a fashion that listeners will understand, I think you've done a nice job of pointing out that there's been a dramatic spread, and it's not just, it's gone everywhere. I mean, and that probably parallels a listener's own life, if they think about it, whether wherever they work or what they're doing at home or walking down the street with their smartphone or whatever is happening. Having said that, I'm curious, it feels sometimes as if there is always the new next best thing, or there are, with so many different parts of it, people asking for additional help, support, so on. How are decisions made? Because this came up as I was thinking about today. How are decisions made about what to do next with IT, because it won't stand still?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right, and it can't stand still. And, you know, one of the things, too, is, you know, we can't look at it as, you know, we just put the newest items in place either. You know, we work very closely with the Department of Instruction, and as you know, the school district, you know, we're there educating students. You know, we're not running an IT infrastructure, but what we support is to educate the students. So a lot of what we do is in conjunction with the Department of Instruction, and you know, what is their goal? What are they trying to accomplish? And we support those components. So there may be things that, you know, they're looking at, and we help them investigate those, and we implement them based on the need of instructional components, not from a technology side. You know, if it supports instruction, that's the focus we go at versus, you know, a business infrastructure where, hey, the newest technology will help us improve with maybe sales or whatever their focus is. But our focus is the students, so the driver is the instructional component. So that may look like, you know, software, devices, you know, it has a varying range of things.
So my experience has been that there are very often, there are needs that a school district might have. And those needs would be brought to the attention of administration. It may could float up from the classroom teachers, maybe the school board members noticing some things and saying, well, how are we going to make an improvement? For example, one area is distance delivery of instruction, so that it's not just the support within a classroom, but finding ways in which to have a student connect with an instructional program outside of their classroom, mm-hmm. outside of the school. When you have something of that sort, I would think that people would come to IT and say, we need your help in part in researching the technical aspects of that. Is that how that works?
Correct, and that's exactly how it works. So, you know, that's a good example right there. One program which we've implemented was the APEX program through the cyber centers at the high schools. But that was the approach taken. Hey, here's the need we're trying to achieve, and we helped on the technology component of it, of what's out there, what are the pros and cons of the different solutions, and helping them implement a solution that fits their need, and making sure the technology works. So with the APEX side of things, it's allowed students to excel, take courses, or even you know, maybe do some of the catch-up of some of those courses maybe they weren't able to take or have mm-hmm. to take again. But that's the focus we take with it, of the instructional components are the drivers.
Okay. Now, one of the significant changes that's happened recently is making available information about students by having data gathered and making that accessible, not only for those people who are trying to evaluate the overall program, but teachers, mm-hmm. As well as parents. And there's been significant improvement or changes there as well. Is that not true?
Yeah, we've, you know, as technology's changed over time, we've added systems in place that have allowed not only teachers and administration to see more data, but parents as well. You know, over the years, we've implemented the iParent component, which has allowed parents to check on grades, see when their kids are absent, you know, discipline information as well. And the students also have a piece there where they can see their information. In addition to that, the online registration, iPlay, so parents can register their students for high school athletics. And as far as the teacher side of things, there's a number of components we've given them to see that student data as well. And you're right, everything is central now into a central database, and there's a lot of data. So instructionally, a lot of decisions are made based on data. So having everything in one location helps decision makers instructionally make the right decisions to support students. Every student is... data is different, so it tells a different story for every student.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two interesting aspects to this whole process you haven't touched upon yet. And the first one is the whole question of, with so much happening, how do you keep up with having sufficient bandwidth?
Well, you know, one of the big things is over the years, you know, that was something we had to focus on. when I started, you know, I remember the bandwidth being in, you know, the single digits, you know, just a few years back, probably about four now, we're able to expand and have fiber to most of our sites. There's a few there's some infrastructure challenges, you know, with stuff in the way, you know, mountains in the way, and just the lay of the land. We haven't been able to get fiber to those sites, but all the other sites do have fiber. So it's allowed us to scale up our WAN connectivity, our wide area network, to those. And then we've also been able to increase our internet bandwidth as well. But also the cost with that increases. But with the E-rate funding through the federal government, that they pay a portion of that. So it's allowed us to increase as our needs increase.
Okay. So the collateral question, of course, is security. With so many people doing so many things, and the security aspect obviously has been in the news for listeners and just their general purpose life, whether you happen to have a bank account or you shop at a particular store or whatever. So tell us a little bit about security at the school district, how it's different also than the borough. Well, the borough has been particularly focused on credit cards, for example, and the rest of that. So you have a different kind of thing. Talk a little bit about that.
Correct. So security is important. And, you know, one thing you mentioned was the credit card side of things. We don't actually process those transactions, so that's a whole realm we don't need to address. We do have services that take care of that for us, so cloud-based, that integrate to our other systems. But every system has its own security built in, role-based security. So based on the employee's role, they're able to only do certain things. On the background to that, we've got our network security in place. We've got firewalls and routers, you know, and on the back end side of that, the data encryption and storage. You know, those are all important things that we've got to monitor and make sure that that student data, employee data is safe, so there is no data breach.
Okay, and of course, there's this balance thing between now that everybody is accessing the internet, whether it's with their smartphone or their pad or computer or whatever, you have that question of how do you allow for access so that people can maximize the use of the internet for learning purposes, communication, and so on, and yet deal with both security and other issues. How do you balance that? How's that working?
Well, you know, the big thing is we got to look at each system and make sure the system itself is secure. You know, the sites you go to, you know, just like your banking, you've got the SSL security in place. And, you know, we do that on our systems that have that secure data. You know, we can't limit the data from, oh, you've got to be inside our walls, quote unquote, to access it. Because like you said, we've got devices everywhere. So we want to give the people that flexibility to access that data. And in the back end, working to make sure it's secure. One thing we do is we also work with outside companies to help us make sure we're keeping everything secure. We're looking into the future, making sure as we expand, you know, we're on the path where we can easily scale versus having to change things quite a bit. Leveraging the resources in the state to help us in those areas. You know, we can't have all the staff that are going to be experts in all these areas we need to address. So leveraging those outside resources is critical.
Well, you bring up staff, and staff training has got to be a significant thing. And also the ability to attract people that with the skills necessary to do all of this. How has that been working for the school district in terms of, are you an attractive place, people standing in line waiting to come in and work? Or
every time we have a job opening, you know, there's usually a lot of people that are applying for those things. One of the components is, Our major focus is customer service. You know, we're providing resources to support instruction and student learning in the schools. So a big focus is, and which is different from in the past there wasn't a lot of interaction with the staff or people supporting the schools. But that's changed over those 10 years, like I explained earlier. So one of the major things is, if you didn't have technology in the classroom, the interaction with IT and the teacher was probably not even needed. Mm-hmm. But today, you walk into that classroom, and with the amount of technology there, it's going to happen every day. So our focus is customer service. You know, if we're not able to provide that high quality customer service, it's difficult to support that technology. So that's one of the major components we look at when hiring today is, you know, is the employee able to provide that customer service? Okay. And the technology aspects, you know, go hand in hand with that. You know, we've got to know the components we're dealing with to do that. In finding the talent, you know, I haven't seen any problems in the past few years. You know, there is always that question of, you know, well, the private sector versus the public sector and pay. And I know you had that discussion with the borough a couple of weeks ago, but it's the same thing. You know, there's, you know, it's, you know, one thing for another. The people who we've got working for us love what they do, and they like supporting students in education. And that's one of the big things is, you know, when I go to work and I see the classroom, when I see the students interacting with the technology, you know, it can put a smile on everybody's face knowing that the kids coming in are learning and they're leaving ready to deal with the real world when they leave, because we've given them the skills through the instructional side, and IT supported what they've done.
So does IT also have a specific educational purpose in the sense of whether it's the school board member with a new piece of equipment sitting up there, or administration, or teachers, or do you have a training aspect as well?
Yes, and, you know, actually one of our groups within IT is called customer support. So that encompasses our help desk and our field technicians, our IT support specialists in the school. So we are providing that training, you know, on a regular basis for staff, but we're doing that in conjunction with the Department of Instruction. You know, they have educational technologists that really drive that side. So it may, at times, there may be IT staff assisting with that training, or there may be IT staff doing some of that training. But a big piece of it is the educational technology component, where they're developing the training for teachers and they're helping them on how they can use that in the classroom. On the other hand, like you said, with board members getting new equipment, you know, we do sit down with them and make sure that they know how to use, you know, the equipment. And we do that with administrators as well, whether it's a tablet or a laptop. We want to make sure that they know how to use the device.
Okay. So one of the things that we haven't yet talked about is going into the future. In the past, I know that there have been technology plants in place that are a result of quite a bit of input in different places. What does the present planning look like going out 5 years? For example, you've been there a while.
Yep.
You know what's happening right now. We know the business is changing. It's trying to aim at a moving target. But what do you see happening in the next 5 years?
Well, you know, as we talked about earlier, technology is changing dramatically. And one of the things over the next few years is, you know, with that technology plan, and we'll be revisiting that and doing some adjustments. But, you know, that was a requirement in the past with E-Rate. You know, to get E-Rate funding, you needed that technology plan. But with that, with the technology changing, a big component is the professional development. So we'll be working with the Department of Instruction and ensuring that, you know, we're supporting that technology professional development to support the changes in technology. You know, we can't just implement new technology and make the assumption that everybody's going to know how to use it. You know, we've got to put those components in place to help them learn and figure out how it's used within the classroom. So that's going to be one of the big changes. One of the other things which you talked about earlier before coming on was gamification.
Right.
You know, a lot of the students coming to us now, you know, they've got these devices in their hands already. They've used, whether it's a tablet, a laptop, you know, they've got the knowledge. So gamification has been able to encompass those learning objectives into the games. And, you know, I was looking at that a couple of years ago and just thinking about it and, you know, just wondering, okay, they're playing a game, you know, what's the outcome of it? But when you look at a lot of these games, there really is some learning objectives in there, and that's what the instructional side is looking at, and how can we leverage that to help engage the students, because that is changing as well.
Okay. Well, you've covered a lot of ground. This is a very very complex business. Technology is obviously at work, and it's changed the way people relate to one another. It's changed the way teachers relate to students in many ways. There's been over the years a thought that technology is a silver bullet that's going to significantly improve things. I think there's a change. And I'm happy to hear that this is an ongoing effort. You're not coldly presenting, here's this computer, but that it has to serve the purposes for which the school district is set up. We've covered a lot of ground. Are there some things that you would also like to talk about that we haven't touched upon yet?
We covered a lot of those big things. One of the things that also... we talked about the technology changing throughout, but, we're seeing more and more places, the Internet of Things, technology is connected everywhere. Mm-hmm. You see people now, they've got the little wrist monitors and everywhere. And look at the consumerization side of things, in your home and the technology-related components we have there. And that's just expanding. We'll start seeing more and more of that in the educational side over time, with things being more and more connected. Looking at, just the examples earlier of, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have, security cameras and access control and wireless, but now we're seeing that. So that's just going to expand. And what I see too is at some point, more and more people are going to have more devices. And regardless of what the device is, a tablet, doesn't matter what kind, a laptop, doesn't matter what kind, we want to support that infrastructure. So no matter what is being used, we're supporting that education of the students. So kind of along the lines of device agnostic, we want to make sure that, what we provide will support any device.
So what you've described is a situation that seems to be increasing in the sense that whether you're a teacher or a student, that as you arrive in the district, you're coming with a very diverse experience, mm-hmm. most people, with the use of technology, one thing or another. And so in part, it's taking account for that and making sure that you are going to build on that experience. Mm-hmm. In the old days, if someone was 5 years old and they walked in, you would think that they would be able to walk and talk and have certain preschool built-in understandings of things. But that's now extending to a whole other arena, the interaction with technology. And so it's going to be a fascinating thing to see how that all plays out as we go along. Well, Justin, I've certainly enjoyed having this conversation. It's reawakened some memories about times past. But most importantly, I think, and perhaps for listeners, is that understanding that the school of 20 years ago, that classroom that you described, was a different place. And if you could put on a set of goggles and look and see just the hot spots of the technology that are now in that mm-hmm. room, where it wasn't, it'd be an amazing, amazing picture. Okay.
Yeah, it is amazing, and it's just exciting to see how it's positively impacting students and what we can do to continuously improve that, and be the best at doing that and having the best students as we move forward.
So one last question: most professions or and areas have associations. Is there an IT association to which you belong of some sort that takes you out of the district into the broader world of IT?
Well, I've worked a lot with in the state. There's no specific organization, but working a lot with the directors and CIOs in the Valley, but also doing that with throughout the state. So I've gotten to know a lot of people, there's a difference. We're Mattoon School District and we may seem small, but when I'm having these discussions with a lot of these people, you know, we're a lot larger compared to what they are, even on the private sector. You know, when we're looking at, you know, right now we've got probably over 9,000 devices throughout the district. And there's really nobody in the state that, you know, besides Anchorage, you know, mm-hmm. school district, but enterprise-wise, private, public, that's a lot different scale. So, you know, I'm constantly working with other other peers, talking about, you know, what they're seeing in their industries, what we're seeing in the education side. We're working with UAA, Pat Shire over there too, talking about all those things. You know, what are they seeing? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know, where do our kids go? They go off to college after. So sure. Are we doing, are we preparing them? Is the technology aligning? And, you know, leveraging those things that, you know, leverage somebody else's experience for what we're doing. And then also outside of the Alaska, you know, I've got contacts throughout the U.S. and, you know, just kind of using those and attending conferences to kind of gain some of that information and make sure that we are staying ahead of the curve so we can provide the best for instruction.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Justin, for coming in. I know you got a long day ahead of you, as usual.
Well, it's my pleasure.
IT does not sleep.
Not anymore. With the connectedness we have, we've got to make sure it's running every day.